Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome. You are listening to Secrets Revealed, Understand the Book of Revelation from Start to Finish. Today is Sunday, March 5th of 2023. We are talking about the 1,260 days prophecy in the Book of Revelation. 1,260 days is exactly 42 30-day months. 42 times 30 is 1,260 days, and that is the number that appears in Revelation chapter 12. Revelation chapter 12 is the 1,260 days prophecy. It is the prophecy in the book of Revelation that tells the story of Israel and its connection to Jesus and the reason for the war that ultimately Israel will endure, the war that leads up to the Battle of Armageddon, which is a war waged in righteousness, the war to end all wars, which is soon to come. So as I was preparing for our time today, I felt led to talk about the woman versus the bride. In the book of Revelation, in chapter 12, we have the 1,260 days prophecy, which is about the 3.5-year period, which is the second half of a 7-year period. Sometimes I've heard people say the Great Tribulation is 7 years. And in reality, according to Revelation chapter 13 and Revelation chapter 12 and other places in the Bible, the Great Tribulation is 3.5 years. Now, there's a pattern that exists with all of the statements of prophecy in the book of Revelation, which is this. God communicates realities about what happens to the nation of Israel in the period leading up to the Great Tribulation, as well as during the Great Tribulation, and immediately following the Great Tribulation. That information, communication about Israel, is followed with communication about the bride, about the church. So there's the nation Israel, and some in Israel had a hardened heart, and when Jesus Christ was here, they did not receive him. And of course, there were others who did, including the 12 apostles and the thousands discussed in the book of Acts. However, there are those who are in the nation of Israel who have a hardened heart, and we're told in several places in the Bible, God has not forgotten about Israel. They are the original olive tree, but the Gentiles, we are grafted in, and we are the wild olive tree. In the end, we will all be a part of the harvest. There's a 3-part harvest. There are those who are gathered from the four, from all the corners of heaven, and they participate in the first resurrection. Then there are those who are gathered from the earth, who have found and followed God's plan for salvation, And finally, there are the 144,000, the remnant, as discussed in the Seven Seals prophecy. Here's what we're going to focus on for today. When we look at the 666 Antichrist prophecy, we find out what specifically happens to the church during the Great Tribulation. Six specific actions of the false prophet are noted. Three of the 10 nations in the beast, the 10-nation alliance that will dominate economic and political affairs, are identified. The Antichrist and his number are revealed. This is all in chapter 13, which is the 666 Antichrist prophecy. In that prophecy, instructions are provided for the church and the realities experienced specifically by the church and the war waged against the church are discussed. Before talking about the bride in Revelation 13, God talks about the woman in Revelation 12. Let's hear it. I'm reading from chapter 12 of the book of Revelation. It says, let's hear, and let me back up for a second. If you've listened to this program before, you've heard me share that every statement of prophecy in the book of Revelation is in fact a movie. It's a documentary in words. An omniscient, in other words, an all-knowing God, created moving pictures, visions, which an angel show to John the Revelator when he was called up to heaven, as described in Revelation chapter 4. These moving pictures, these visions, as he called them, movies we would call them, are a specific kind of movie. They're documentaries. So these are real events that will happen in the future. We're told in Revelation chapter 1 and chapter 22, the first and last chapters, that every prophecy in the book of Revelation is authentic, it's genuine, and is sure to come to pass. When we look at a statement of prophecy in the book of Revelation, it begins the statement of prophecy, which is essentially a movie. What kind of movie? A documentary. But every statement of prophecy begins with its own movie trailer, followed by the movie in its entirety. Now, why do you need that information? You need that information because if you don't know that, you'll think that the second coming happened or will happen multiple times. You'll think that the Battle of Armageddon happens 8 times or 7 times, when in fact the Battle of Armageddon will happen only one time. And the second coming of Jesus Christ is going to happen only one time. So let's hear the movie trailer for the 1,260 days. Note that at the end of the movie trailer, the cliffhanger for this movie trailer is that we're told that the woman flees into the wilderness for 1,260 days. Then, immediately following the end of the movie trailer, we go back in time, because now we're zooming out so that we can see the movie in its entirety, and we don't get back to that 1,260 days information until we get to the end of the movie, until we get to the end of the prophecy. So if you're reading along with me in your Bible, note that 1,260 days is mentioned in verse 6 of Revelation chapter 12, and then it's mentioned again, end of Revelation chapter 12, in verse 14. So 1,260 days is exactly 42 months with a 30-day month, and 42 months is 3.5 years. And so in Revelation 14, we're told, there she would be, talking about the woman, would be cared for and protected from the dragon for a time, times, and half a time. So in Bible language, a time is 1 year, times is 2 years, and half a time is half a year. Let me say that again. A time is 1 year, times is 2 year, and half a time is half of a year. So time, that's one, plus times is two. One plus two is three, plus half a time, that's one half. So three plus one half is 3.5. 3.5 what? Time is a unit that represents years. So in the movie trailer, again, I'm sharing this, fast forwarding to communicate the reality that we're going to hear all of chapter 12, but first what we're going to hear is the movie trailer. And we get to the end of it really fast in verse 6. And then in verse 7, now we start again going right into the entire documentary, the full report. So that way you're clear on where we are and why the book of Revelation seems to be repetitive when in fact it isn't. It's zooming in and out in an orderly manner. It's giving us 12 movies all focused on the events leading up to the second coming of Jesus Christ, the revealing of Jesus Christ at the second coming, and then three of the documentaries focus on the activities on this present earth after the second coming of Jesus Christ, as well as the new earth to come. So let us hear the movie trailer right now for the 1,260 days prophecy. It says, beginning with verse 1 of chapter 12, then I witnessed in heaven an event of great significance. I saw a woman clothed with the sun, with the moon beneath her feet, and a crown of 12 stars on her head. She was pregnant, and she cried out because of her labor pains and the agony of giving birth. Then I witnessed in heaven another significant event. I saw a large red dragon with 7 heads and 10 horns, with 7 crowns on his heads. His tail swept away 1/3 of the stars in the sky, and he threw them to the earth. He stood in front of the woman as she was about to give birth, ready to devour her baby as soon as it was born. She gave birth to a son who was to rule all nations with an iron rod. And her child was snatched away from the dragon and was caught up to God and to his throne. And the woman fled into the wilderness, where God had prepared a place to care for her for 1,260 days. That is the abstract. That's the term used in professional writing. That's the abstract for the 1,260 days prophecy. It is the movie trailer in words for the 1,260 days prophecy. Let's get into it. Let's talk about the woman and Joseph had an interesting dream in Genesis 37, and I want to go there now. So you might recall that Joseph was Jacob's favorite son. So Jacob had 12 sons. They later became the 12 tribes of Israel, with each tribe being led by one of the 12 sons. And Joseph, the first of two sons by Jacob's second wife, Rachel, was his favorite son. And Joseph is often referred to as the dreamer. He had several dreams recorded in the Bible, important dreams. And importantly, God gave him the meaning of a prophetic dream of a leader, the leader that ruled Egypt at that time. And he, through the wisdom of God, interpreted that dream. You might remember that the dream was about 7 lean years following 7 glorious years, or 7 years of fruitfulness followed by 7 years of famine. But at this moment, the part of Joseph's very interesting life that we want to hear about is his dream about the sun, the moon, and the stars. Now, our action item is to make sure that we're clear on what God is communicating. So we're told, I saw a woman clothed with the sun, with the moon beneath her feet, and a crown of 12 stars on her head. We have other clues too, but let's start there. The woman is clothed with the sun, the moon beneath her feet, and a crown of 12 stars on her head. So in Genesis 37, verse 9, it says, soon Joseph had another dream, and again he told his brothers about it. Listen, I have had another dream, he said. The sun, moon, and 11 stars bowed low before me. This time he told the dream to his father as well as to his brothers, but his father scolded him. What kind of dream is that, he asked. Will your mother and I and your brothers actually come and bow to the ground before you? But while his brothers were jealous of Joseph, his father wondered what the dreams meant. Now, if you know this story, you know what happened, and so you know what the dream means. In fact, the 11 stars, let's go back. In verse 9, it says again, the sun, moon, and 11 stars bowed low before me. The 11 stars represented the brothers of Joseph. And many years later, after he had been made the second highest in command in Egypt, after enduring false imprisonment, which was preceded by a life of slavery. So he went from this prison life to being in the palace. And once he was sold into slavery by these 11 brothers, there was a great famine that extended far and wide. Egypt was the only place that was relatively close that they could get to. Who's they? His 11 brothers. The father sent them to go to Egypt to give money to buy food because there was a great famine in the land. So here he is now. He's been renamed Zaphnath-Paneah, and he has a beautiful ring on his finger. He's been given Asenath as a wife. He has 2 children. He's the ruler of all of Egypt. Only Pharaoh is greater in command than he, and he's doing all the work that Pharaoh would do because he's trustworthy and he had the wisdom of God with him. So if the brothers are 11 stars and Joseph is the 12th brother, and he is, now he's number 11 in terms of birth order, I believe, first of Rachel's sons, Benjamin is her last, but there were 11, but when you add him, they're 12. So the 12 stars represent the 12 tribes of Israel. Now, when we talk about the sun and the moon, people debate what this means. I will share with you my opinion. I can't give you Bible scripture to confirm. My perception is that the sun represents a ruler, and a moon represents the religion that a people follow. And so I'm just going to leave that there. the take-home point is that clearly the sun, the moon, and the 12 stars is a reference to Israel. And we know that because the 11 stars were the 11 brothers, and Joseph makes 12. Now let's go back to where we are. We're in book number 66 of the Bible, the book of Revelation, the culminating work of the Bible. We're told, I saw a woman clothed with the sun, with the moon beneath her feet, and a crown of 12 stars on her head. So Israel's crown is the 12 tribes. It says she was pregnant. Now that's one proof. That's one proof. We're trying to establish the identity of the woman, because the identity of the woman contrasts with the identity of the bride, the church. So what's more proof of who the woman is? In verse 2 it says, she was pregnant, and she cried out because of her labor pains and the agony of giving birth. Now, Israel gave birth to God manifest in the flesh, you guessed it, Jesus Christ. Now, how do we know that this is talking about Jesus Christ? When we go down to verse number 4, it says, talking about Satan, he stood in front of the woman as she was about to give birth, ready to devour her baby as soon as it was born. Satan was looking for the King of the Jews, the Messiah. And there was a time when they went and they killed all the firstborn sons in the land. Why? Satan was ready to devour Israel's baby, the King of the Jews. And then it says, if you're not persuaded by that, let's look at verse 5. She gave birth to a son who was to rule all nations with an iron rod. Perhaps I should have started there. I'm going in chronological order here. In other words, in the order that the verses appear. But if we didn't look at any other scripture and we just looked here, it says, she gave birth to a son who was to rule all nations. All nations. All doesn't mean 10 nations. The Antichrist will be the leader of 10 nations, the 10-nation alliance. All nations doesn't mean most nations. It means all nations. The only King of Kings and Lord of Lords is Jesus Christ. And upon his fighting and winning the Battle of Armageddon, he will establish his government, as discussed in Isaiah chapter 9. And at that time, and not before then, he will rule all nations with an iron rod. And this iron rod is referred to in several places in the Bible. In fact, in the book of Revelation, we're told that those who are victorious will also be given an iron rod. Let me share more about the iron rod. In Revelation 19, talking about the Battle of Armageddon, so the marriage supper prophecy is Revelation chapter 19, beginning with verse 6 until its end. Let me read that to you. So we're establishing the identity of the woman in the 1260 days prophecy, and talking about the iron rod, it says in Revelation 19 verse 15, from his mouth came a sharp sword to strike down the nations. He will rule them with an iron rod. He will release the fierce wrath of God the Almighty, like juice flowing from a wine press. On his robe at his thigh was written this title, King of all kings and Lord of all. So indeed, if we were only looking at verse 5, if we were only looking at verse 5 of chapter 12, it's very clear that what gives birth to Jesus Christ, who will rule all nations with an iron rod, is the nation of Israel. Now, when we look at this prophecy in its entirety, it's going to all come together. Right now, we're in the movie trailer. Let's continue. It says, and her child, whose child? Israel's child, was snatched away from the dragon and was caught up to God and to his throne. So what is this saying? As often happens in the book of Revelation, very short verses span long periods of time. So Jesus Christ was born. Now we're going to fast forward 33 years to the end of his life. And it says, and her child was snatched away from the dragon. In other words, Satan did not get Jesus. Jesus Christ was caught up to God. When did that happen? When he died on the cross, 3.5 years later, he rose from the dead and he ascended into heaven. He was caught up to God and to his throne. That's the same language that we get in Revelation 4 telling us about how John the Revelator was caught up, and that's where he's given this vision, as well as others, about events to come. Now let's continue here in verse 6. It says, and the woman, talking about Israel. Now remember, we heard about Jesus Christ being born to the nation of Israel at the beginning of this movie trailer, the abstract for the 1,260 days prophecy. And then we're told that Satan was trying to take out Jesus Christ before he was even born. And as soon as he was born, Satan was ready to kill him because he is destined to rule all the nations with an iron rod. But Satan didn't win. And in fact, Jesus Christ was caught up to heaven into his throne after becoming the firstborn of the dead, as described in Revelation chapter 1. Then it says in verse 6, this is the last verse for the movie trailer, and the woman fled into the wilderness. Let me read that again. And the woman fled into the wilderness. So Israel is going to flee, where God had prepared a place to care for her for 1,260 days. Let me say that one more time. And the woman fled into the wilderness, where God had prepared a place to care for her for 1,260 days. Now, this is so important. When you realize that we're in the movie trailer, we understand that when we're watching a movie trailer, it can skip all the way to the end of the movie, because it's the movie trailer, and that's how that works. So now all of a sudden, we've skipped 100 years, 200 years, 300 years, 1,000 years, more than 2,000 years. You say, well, how do you know that, research scientists? Because this 1,260 days hasn't happened yet. So this movie trailer is telling us the story of Israel. And you might say, but there's so many important things. Why doesn't he tell about how the second temple was destroyed? Why don't we hear about how the nation of Israel was dispersed? Why don't we hear about the seven-day war? Why don't we hear about, and you could go on and on and on. And the reason is because God is the boss of it. He decided which 12 documentaries he wanted to create to tell us the story connected to the revealing of Jesus Christ. And in this particular documentary, in this particular movie, he's telling us the story of Israel from his perspective. Don't be angry or confused when events that you think are interesting or important are left out. That doesn't mean that they're not important or that they're not interesting. But if you were telling the story of your life and you were limited to 250 words, for example, there are interesting and important details that you would have to leave out. You'd have to make really hard decisions about what you were going to share. And God has made hard decisions, and I think you already know this. God is smarter than me. I don't know if you know this part, but he's smarter than you. He has included the most important information for us to know. So, about the nation of Israel, in this movie trailer, we're told that Israel is going to flee into the wilderness for 1,260 days, where God has prepared a place to care for her. So God has not forgotten Israel. Replacement theology is a lie from the pits of hell. When you see Israel and the woman in the book of Revelation, Israel means Israel. Israel doesn't mean the church, and the church doesn't mean some other thing. God says what he means, and he means what he said. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Now, let's move beyond the movie trailer. I would like to know, I think you'd like to know too, well, what happens with these 1,260 days? And let me give all of us a heads up, as I shared at the beginning of our time today, the 1,260 days is the second half of a seven-year period. The first 3.5 years is the ramp up to the Great Tribulation. It begins, this seven-year period, with the signing of the confirmation of the covenant. This is the action that will give the green light for the nation of Israel to rebuild its temple. It will be the third temple for the people of Israel. It will appear on the Temple Mount in Jerusalem. The second temple was destroyed in 70 AD. In 70 AD, the nation of Rome destroyed the temple. The Romans destroyed the temple in 70 AD, and the nation of Israel has not had a temple on the Temple Mount since then. In 1948, Israel supernaturally came together as a nation following the horrific events of the Holocaust. And since then, for more than 50 years, we have been looking forward to the time, as prophesied in the book of Daniel, when the treaty will be signed, when the paperwork will be created, and where that confirmation will happen, where Israel is permitted to build on the Temple Mount a temple that allows them to worship God in the way that they worshiped God more than 2,000 years ago. Now let's hear, let me back up for 1 second. When the confirmation of the covenant happens, it will be a time of rejoicing. Many people will be filled with hope. Others who know the prophecies of the Bible will be filled with hope, but also with a sense of urgency, because 3.5 years later, the so-called hero of the Jews will be revealed as the Antichrist, the would-be annihilator of the Jews, the person who attempts to create another Holocaust. The Antichrist will wage war against Israel. Now, let's hear about this 1,260 days. When the Antichrist stands 3.5 years after the confirmation of the covenant, now the temple will have been rebuilt on this present earth. In the book of Daniel, it says calls it the abomination of desolation. He'll stand in the rebuilt temple declaring that he is Messiah. That will be the beginning of the 1,260 days. Now, let's hear about these 1,260 days, which are in our future. Now, in the past, Jesus Christ was born to the nation of Israel. He died on the cross and was caught up to heaven. Those prophecies have come to pass. But in the future, the 1,260 days is going to happen and is yet to come. Here is the full report beginning with verse 7 of what happens to the woman during the Great Tribulation. So we want to know, well, what's going to happen to Israel during the Great Tribulation? Here it is. Then there was a war in heaven. Now, what does this mean? This means that as John the Revelator is looking at the documentary, it goes to a new scene. And in this new scene, what he sees is a war in heaven. Now, this is the first scene of the complete documentary, remember? So we went from the movie trailer. We all watched the movie trailer for Creed 3. Now we're at the movies. And we start at the beginning. So here we're at the beginning. There was war in heaven. Michael and his angels fought against the dragon and his angels. So there's a war in heaven. Sometimes people say things like, oh, heaven is a place of peace. In heaven, no one cries. In heaven, there's no stress. Well, it says right here, there was war in heaven. Michael and his angels fought against the dragon and his angels. And the dragon lost the battle. And he and his angels were forced out of heaven. This great dragon, the ancient serpent called the devil or Satan, the one deceiving the whole world, was thrown down to the earth with all his angels. Okay, so what has happened? In the future, in our future, and there will be three locations as there are today. So what are the three locations? Under the earth, on the earth, and in heaven. In heaven, there will be a war. The losers of that war, Satan and the third of the angels, who are Team Satan, those losers will be thrown down to the earth. So right now, Satan can come and go as he pleases in heaven. He can be in heaven. He can be wherever he wants to be. As you well know, there are demonic spirits, fallen angels, that are sometimes here on the earth. Perhaps they've attacked you a time or two. Those fallen angels, along with Satan, have the ability to be in heaven or on the earth. But we're told that when this war is fought and won by Michael, the angel assigned to Israel, they will be thrown out of heaven. They will be banished from heaven. They're thrown down to the earth. Let's continue with verse 10. Then I heard a loud voice shouting across the heavens, "It has come at last, salvation and power and the kingdom of our God and the authority of his Christ. For the accuser of our brothers and sisters has been thrown down to earth, the one who accuses them before our God day and night." Let's pause there. So right now, as was the case when Job lived on this present earth, Satan would go before God and say, oh, your son Job, well, guess what he did last night? He did this. Or you think Job is so great, you love Job, but he did that. Well, Lisa did this. And Malik has done that. So Satan, using his fallen angels and those human beings who have yielded themselves, attempts to get you and me and all the peoples of the earth to engage in sin because this hurts our Father God who is in heaven. And he takes these deeds and he throws them into the face of a holy God. He is the accuser of our brothers and sisters. Now, why are they saying the accuser of our brothers and sisters? So they're in heaven. They're in heaven, but we're here on the earth. So who is he talking about? He's talking about the people on the present earth, those for whom there's a battle. Satan wants you and me to go with him to the outer darkness, to the lake that burns with sulfur and brimstone forever and ever. And, of course, Jesus Christ wants us to go with him. Where? To the new earth. And so it says here in verse 10, for the accuser of our brothers and sisters has been thrown down to earth. So they're celebrating. They're celebrating in heaven because now heaven can truly be peaceful. It can truly be peaceful because Satan and all of the angels who were foolish enough to believe him when he said that they were going to take over the world, Satan and his angels are no longer being a nuisance in heaven. They are relegated to this fallen world. That is their punishment for losing that war. And it says here in verse 11, and they have defeated him by the blood of the Lamb and by their testimony. So apparently, those who are in heaven have been attempting to get Satan thrown out of heaven for thousands of years. How do we know that? Well, Jesus Christ has been in heaven for at least 2,023 years. They say the record keeping on that is not exactly right, but let's say conservatively 2,000 years. But he's still in heaven right now. He's still in heaven right now, but at some point soon, they will have sufficient testimony along with the blood of the Lamb, that's Jesus Christ, that God will say, you know what? You have won this case. You have won this case, and he's going to be defeated. Michael, yes, go ahead and wage war against him. And when you finish with him, throw him to the earth. So it goes something like that. We are shown here for sure that there's a war in heaven. Michael leads that war with the other angels of God. Satan gets into battle with his angels, but they lose. Now, apparently, it says that they have defeated him by the blood of the Lamb and by their testimony. So it's not simply an issue of, well, let's get into hand-to-hand combat and take out Satan. There has to be something more than that. And that something more, we're told in verse 11, was the blood of the Lamb and their testimony. So my best guess, and this is my opinion, is that there needed to be the green light from God authorizing Michael to take out Satan and the angels. We don't just act in and of our own will. We act following the instructions of God. That's the way it's supposed to be. Certainly in heaven, the angels follow the instructions of God. And so let's continue. Verse 11 says, and they did not love their lives so much that they were afraid to die. Therefore, rejoice, O heavens, and you who live in the heavens, rejoice. So saying that, you know, all these people who gave testimony, some of them apparently lost their lives because they were preaching the word of God. It says they did not love their lives so much that they were afraid to die. And now we're told that all the people in the heavens are told to rejoice and rejoice, you who live in the heavens. Why are they rejoicing? Because now where they live in heaven, Satan is no more. It's time to party. We're happy. We're rejoicing. But then it says, now remember, there are three places that people can be. People can be in heaven as disembodied spirits. People can be on this present earth, three in one, body, spirit, and soul. Or they can be as disembodied spirits under the earth in Hades. So unless you're on this present earth or the new earth, you're only two in one. You have perfect continuity of life with your same soul and spirit, your same mind, will, and emotions, and your spirit, but you're disembodied. And that's not God's best. God's best is for you and me to be three in one and to transition from this inferior, corruptible body to a superior, incorruptible, immortal body, a glorified body. Now let's continue here. It says in verse 12, but terror will come on the earth and the sea, for the devil has come down to you in great anger, knowing that he has little time. So when Satan loses this war in heaven and he's banished from heaven, relegated to this fallen earth, he's angry. Now I imagine if I was thrown out of heaven, I'd be angry too. I'd be angry too. But it says here, the devil has come down to you in great anger, talking about us, those who are here on the earth, knowing that he has little time. Now, why does he have little time? The great tribulation, the wrath of Satan. So the great tribulation is the wrath of Satan. The seven final plagues, which include but are not limited to the Battle of Armageddon, are the wrath of God. Let me say that again. The great tribulation, which is a finite period of time, and we're told over and over again so that God is saying, hey, I want you to know this has a start and ending point. It's a period of crisis like the world has never seen and like it will never, it's never seen before and like will never happen again, but it has an end point. And that end point is day number 1260. That end point is the end of 42 months. That end point is precisely 3.5 years after it begins. So it says the devil has come down to you in great anger, knowing that he has little time. Well, why does he have little time? Because the wrath of Satan, the wrath of the devil, is limited to 3.5 years. Yes, he will dominate this earth. He's in charge of this world at this time. We say, no, God's in charge of the world. If God's in charge of the world, why was somebody murdered earlier today? If God was in charge of the world, why are men and women raped in the jails every day? If God's in charge of the world, why do people go to court and when they're innocent, they come back with a guilty verdict? God is not in charge of this world right now. Satan is in charge of this world right now. But when the battle of Armageddon is fought and won, Jesus Christ will establish his government, as noted in Isaiah chapter 9. It says, and of the increase of his government and his peace, there shall be no end. And we're told in the millennial reign prophecy, Revelation chapter 20, verses 1 to 10, that one of the first things that happens after Jesus Christ has fought and won the battle of Armageddon is that he establishes those who will make righteous judgments. He establishes a court, if you will. Let me go to that so I can get that language exactly right for us. You might say, well, I'm so unhappy with the courts. Well, you have something to look forward to. It says, then I saw thrones, and sitting on them were those to whom authority to act as judges and to pass sentence was entrusted. That's the first thing that happens after Satan is thrown into the bottomless pit. Now, here in the 1260 days prophecy, it says that Satan was mad because he knew his time was short. Well, what does that mean? After this 1,260 days, he already knows that he's defeated. He's just trying to see how many of your would-be family members, God, can I steal from you? How many can I take with me? You ever known somebody who's just wicked? They didn't love another person the way you love the person, but they just didn't want you to have the person. So they engaged in some kind of lie and deception to get the person away from you, not because they love the person, but they just didn't want you to get to love the person and have the person. So that's what Satan is doing. He doesn't love anyone in this world. He doesn't love you. He doesn't love me. But he hates God. And God loves you. And God loves me. And because God loves you, Satan wants you, so God won't get to have you. Well, you've got to decide. Are you going to let him have you? Who will have you? Will it be Jesus or will it be Satan? There are only two options. Participation in the first resurrection, that's for everyone who's team Jesus, or participation in the second resurrection, that's the resurrection for the purposes of participating in the great white throne judgment. That's the resurrection that leads to eternal damnation, because every person, every litigant who is on the side of the courtroom opposite God, as you can imagine, you go into court, and who's the other party that's against you? God. If you're participating in the great white throne judgment, that means on one side is you and on the other side is God. And God's going to bring his evidence, which is a book that's in heaven. It has in it recorded all your aims and motives and deeds and sins. Now, who do you think is going to win at court? Is it going to be you or God? Listen, the take-home point is not for you to feel condemned. Jesus Christ paid for your sins. He died on the cross so that you can have eternal life, so that you and I can be in right standing with God, so that our sins can be blotted out, and so that our names will appear in the book of life. So Satan has little time. How much time does he have? He has 1,260 days, which begins when his leader, his guy, the Antichrist, when he stands in the rebuilt temple, which is shortly to come, when he stands there, he's going to stop the animal sacrifices. You know they're going to use the red heifer. He's going to stop all animal sacrifices. He's going to declare that he's the Messiah. He's going to say, I'm going to bring peace to this earth. And you know how I'm going to do it? I'm going to take out Israel, because Israel is really the problem. What a lie from the pits of hell. What a lie from the pits of hell. But that's what he's going to say. Now, his time is short. After the 1,260 days, which is the wrath of Satan, the great tribulation, is the wrath of God. Now, the wrath of God is recorded in chapters 15 and 16 of the book of Revelation, the seven plagues prophecy. The seven plagues include, but are not limited to, the Battle of Armageddon. It culminates with the Battle of Armageddon. At the end of the Battle of Armageddon, as described in the marriage supper prophecy in Revelation chapter 19, Satan's team, his team leaders, the Antichrist and the false prophet, are destroyed. It says in Revelation chapter 19, verse 20, and the beast was seized and overpowered, and with him the false prophet, who in his presence had worked wonders and performed miracles by which he led astray those who had accepted or permitted to be placed upon them the stamp, mark of the beast, and those who paid homage and gave divine honors to his statue. Both of them were hurled alive into the fiery lake that burns and blazes with brimstone. So you might say, well, wait a minute. Just because the Antichrist and the false prophet are thrown into the lake of fire, how does that mean that Satan's time is short? If he's still running around, what does it matter that the Antichrist and false prophet has been destroyed? Good question. Well, let's go to the millennial reign prophecy. So in Revelation 20, verse 1 is the beginning of the millennial reign prophecy, and here we hear it. Then I saw an angel descending from heaven. He was holding the key of the abyss, the bottomless pit, and a great chain was in his hand. And he gripped and overpowered the dragon, that old serpent of primeval times, who is the devil and Satan, and securely bound him for 1,000 years. Then he hurled him into the abyss, the bottomless pit, and closed it and sealed it above him so that he should no longer lead astray and deceive and seduce the nations until the 1,000 years were at an end. So Satan's mad because his time is short. What does that mean? It means that once the Great Tribulation period ends, the wrath of God, in some close timing to that, the wrath of God begins in that same timing. And when the wrath of God ends, it culminates with the Battle of Armageddon. And once the Battle of Armageddon is fought and won, immediately following that, Michael continues. So Michael already took Satan and his flunkies, the fallen angels, took Satan and his flunkies, threw them out of heaven, and then they were relegated to the earth. Now, some specific angel, we're not told who it is, but a specific angel, my best guess would be Michael, but we're not told who it is. He's the angel for Israel. But an angel gets into hand-to-hand combat with Satan. Revelation chapter 20, verses 1 to 3, they get into hand-to-hand combat. Satan is defeated again, and he's thrown into the bottomless pit for 1,000 years. So, again, his time is short. He only has 3.5 years where he gets to flex, where he's the quote-unquote king of the world. Now, he's running around heaven right now, and his claim to fame is to say every wrong thing you or I did. That's all he has. That's all he has. And he can torment those who God loves. That's you. That's your son. That's your daughter. That's your mother. That's your father. He can torment people, sending demonic spirits to bring illness, to bring mental torment, to confuse people. But he is defeated. He is defeated. He's defeated when he's thrown out of heaven. That's coming up shortly. Then he's defeated again after the Battle of Armageddon when he's thrown into the bottomless pit. But let's hear about his final defeat. Defeat number 3 outlined in the book of Revelation. This is the second death. By the way, every person who fails to participate in the first resurrection gets the same fate as Satan. So we're talking about what Satan is going to endure, but I want to mention that every person who fails to participate in the first resurrection experiences the same fate, not at exactly the same time, but the second death is God's strategy for destroying all 5 of his enemies. But let's hear about this third time, Satan's final defeat in Revelation 20. Verse 10, the final verse of the millennial reign prophecy, it says, "Then the devil who had led them astray, deceiving and seducing them, was hurled into the fiery lake of burning brimstone, where the beast and false prophet were, and they will be tormented day and night forever and ever through the ages of the ages." Who's they? The Antichrist, the false prophet, and the devil. So they've been waiting 1,000 years. You know how mad they probably are? They're gonna be like, "Man, you lied to us. You lied to us. You told us we were going to rule and reign the earth, and we're out here now on the earth." They're going to be so mad. He deceived them. He's a liar and a thief and a deceiver and a counterfeit. So let's go back to where we are, the 1,260 days prophecy. It says, "For the devil has come down to you in great anger, knowing that he has little time." Now we understand what the little time means. Okay, so a very short amount of time, only 3.5 years to rule after, what do we mean by rule? Through his team leads, the Antichrist and the false prophet. Let's continue. Verse 13, "When the dragon realized that he had been thrown down to the earth, he pursued the woman who had given birth to the male child." Now, this is why we spent so much time talking about the woman. because we don't want to miss the secret that God is really wanting us to discern here. Here it is in these last five verses. These are the key secrets of the 1,260 days prophecy. So let's decode this. When Satan realized that he was confined to this present earth, he decides to pursue Israel. Why? Because Israel is the nation who had given birth to the male child. Who's the male child? Jesus Christ. Jesus is the reason that he's defeated. Jesus now has, we're told in Revelation 1, the keys to death and the grave. When Jesus died on the cross, it was finished. What was finished? The rule of Satan. We say, well, wait a minute. You just said Satan's ruling the earth right now. Yes, but only for a short period of time. These prophecies in the book of Revelation are sure to come to pass. All of time exists within God. So God has been to our future, experienced it, made a movie about it, and then sent it back to the past, showed the movie to John the Revelator so we could see it in our present. You see how God's moving forward and backwards in time? He's not limited. These events are sure to come to pass. Now, what happens when Satan pursues Israel? So he's thrown out of heaven. Now we're in the full movie, right? He's thrown out of heaven after losing the war, him and his flunkies, the one-third of the fallen angels. He is the leader of the fallen angels. He's mad. He's like, man, this is, you know, Israel, that's where Jesus came from. Who's Jesus? God manifest in the flesh. Israel produced Jesus Christ, and he is the reason for my pain. He's the reason that I've lost this world. Now what happens in verse 14? But she was given two wings. Who's she? The woman. Who's the woman? The nation of Israel. But she was given two wings like those of a great eagle. Let's pause there for a second. Now we know that the dragon is Satan, because we're told that here in Revelation 12 and in Revelation 20. So in the 1,260 days prophecy, the dragon was identified as Satan, and in the millennial reign prophecy, the dragon is identified as Satan. However, God has chosen to use the animals associated with specific nations that will be on the earth at the time of the Great Tribulation to identify those nations in prophecy. Now, in the 666 Antichrist prophecy, three nations are identified: Russia, Germany, and Great Britain. Germany is the leopard described in Revelation 13. If you've been reading at all, anything about the Ukraine war, they have been talking about the leopard. The leopard, what's the leopard? It's the number one tank in all the world. And that's the tank that the leader has been asking for. Those are the tanks that they're talking about. And they keep talking. I see story after story about the leopard in the news. So the leopard is associated with Germany. Russia has been associated with the bear for years. And, of course, the lion is associated with Great Britain. Interestingly, these symbols of nations are also presented in the book of Daniel, which was written about 600 years before John the Revelator penned the book of Revelation. But let's stay here. What's the take-home point for us? It says, but she was given, who's she? Again, talking about Israel, two wings like those of a great eagle. Now, what nation is associated with the eagle? That's the United States of America. And as you may know, the United States has a very strong alliance with the nation of Israel. We have used our veto power as members of the United Nations over and over again to save Israel from adversarial actions that have been presented by other member nations. Five nations have veto power. The United States is one of them. And very fortunately for Israel, due to our very strong relationship, we have used that power to protect the nation of Israel many times. Now, it says here that during this period, after the war in heaven, when Satan is here on the earth, Israel will be given two wings like those of a great eagle, so she could fly to the place prepared for her in the wilderness. So this will be a time where the United States of America will support Israel. Now, it will be a time of wilderness. The world will turn against Israel. The world will be seduced by the language of the Antichrist. They will believe that the reason why we cannot have peace on the earth, and this is an absolute lie from the pits of hell, but the Antichrist is going to say, if you look at it, the reason why we have war after war after war is because Israel, the Jews are the problem. We must take out the Jews. Then after that, he's going to say, and we must take out the church. But he's going to start off with saying, we have to take out Israel. They are the problem. It's going to be like a wilderness. They are going to have to flee. Many will flee. Many will flee. And we were already told in the movie trailer. Now let's go back to what the movie trailer told us. In the movie trailer, it said in verse 6, and the woman fled into the wilderness where God had prepared a place to care for her for 1,260 days. So God has prepared a place for Israel. During the Great Tribulation, Israel will not be annihilated in its entirety. Now, this is described, this period, in Zechariah in the last three chapters. There will be lots of devastation, but Israel will not be completely destroyed. God has prepared a place for her and has given her a great eagle. She was given two wings like those of a great eagle so she could fly. Now, can I say 100% that this great eagle is the United States of America? No. But my perception is that it is. It's very clear when we look at Revelation 13 that is talking about nations. And it's very clear that the eagle is talking about the United States of America when we look at Revelation chapter 7, because we're told that Daniel is shown in a vision that the wings of the eagle are plucked from the lion. Now you say, research scientists, you lost me there. Now where do we have our roots as Americans? We have our roots in Great Britain. That's why that war was fought, so that we could have our independence from that nation. So Great Britain has the lion as its symbol. And hundreds of years before either Great Britain or the United States of America or Russia, before these nations existed with these symbols, God knew they existed. Why? God is omniscient. What does that mean? He's all-knowing. All of time exists within God. He's already been to the future, created a documentary about it, and sent that to the past so we could read about it in our present. Called the Book of Revelation. Now, let's hear Daniel chapter 7. So we're talking about the great eagle. You can say, you know, it's just too much. You lost me there. Well, let's see what Daniel has to say about the great eagle and about these symbols. So in Daniel chapter 7, it says, I want to get to the exact scripture. I'm looking at a physical copy of Daniel 7, so I have to use my eyes to search it. Okay, I'm searching. Okay, here it is. Daniel chapter 7, verse 4. Let's go back to verse 3. And four great beasts came up out of the sea in succession and different from one another. Let me go back to verse 2. Daniel said, I saw in my vision by night, and behold, the four winds of the heavens were stirring up the great sea. And four great beasts came up out of the sea in succession and different from one another. So Daniel's being shown a vision. Then he says, the first was like a lion and had eagle's wings. I looked till the wings of it were plucked, and it was lifted up from the earth and made to stand upon 2 feet as a man, and a man's heart was given to it. Now, some have said that the man that was given 2 feet, that that's the symbol of Uncle Sam. That's the second symbol for the United States of America. Perhaps that's true. Perhaps it isn't. But what is very striking, what is beyond coincidence, is that he's shown a lion with eagle wings, and then the wings are plucked. And then as you move forward here, the other nations are reported. Let's go to Revelation 13 just for a moment. Talking about the 10-nation alliance, it says, I saw a beast coming up out of the sea with 10 horns and 7 heads. And then later in verse 2, it says, and the beast that I saw resembled a leopard, but his feet were like those of a bear, and his mouth was like that of a lion. So what's this beast with all these symbols of an animal? It's the 10-nation alliance. And all the animals represent a specific nation in that 10-nation alliance, in the same way that the eagle represents a specific nation, the United States of America, here where we are in Revelation chapter 12. So what am I saying? What does it all mean? During the Great Tribulation, no matter what it looks like right now, you can be assured that the United States will have a strong relationship with Israel. And in fact, in Israel's greatest hour of need, the United States will come through, and this nation will still be sufficiently great that we have the power, that we have the wherewithal, we have the finances, we have the military might to contribute to the safety of Israel, and we will do that. We will do that because it's here in the book of Revelation, and every prophecy in the book of Revelation is genuine and accurate and reliable and sure to come to pass. Let's continue. It says, there she would be cared for and protected from the dragon. What is it saying there? Israel will be cared for and protected from the dragon. What's care? Food, water, clothing, weapons perhaps, but certainly care would include things that you need to sustain life and to be safe. There she would be cared for and protected from the dragon. Who's the dragon? Satan. You say, well, isn't the dragon the Antichrist? No. Isn't the dragon the false prophet? No. The dragon specifically is Satan. Now, why does she need protection from Satan? Satan is actually going to be on this present earth in his physical form, whatever that looks like. I don't know what it looks like. If you know what it looks like, would you text us or would you call in? Our PGN number is 1-319-527-6027. 1-319-527-6027. You can text us. Our PGN text phone number is 1-214-505-8719. I don't know what the physical form of Satan looks like, but he will be here in his physical form in his entirety on this present earth. And so we will be protecting him. When I say we, talking about the United States of America, and it says for a time, times, and half a time. What's that? That's 1,260 days. A time is 1 year. Times is 2 years. And half a time is half a year. So now we finally have gotten to the place that was discussed in the movie trailer. We got to the point in the movie where it's telling us, okay, all these other things have happened. Many, many, many things happened. And now finally we're at the point in time where Israel has fled into the wilderness and is under the protection of the United States of America, being protected and cared for by God, who has chosen to use the United States of America to keep Israel safe for 3.5 years. What 3.5 years? The 3.5 years that represent the wrath of Satan, the 3.5 years that are the Great Tribulation, the 3.5 years which are a time of crisis like the world has never seen, nor will it ever see again after that period has ended. Now, here's something very interesting. What else happens during this 3.5 years? It says, then the dragon tried to drown the woman with a flood of water that flowed from his mouth. So Satan tries to drown Israel with water. Now, you might say, well, that doesn't make sense to me. You could destroy a city, a town, a nation with a hurricane or with fire, with an earthquake, with all kinds of things. Says here specifically, Satan is going to attempt to take Israel out with a flood of water, which will flow from his mouth. Now, does that refer to his literal mouth? I don't know. It appears that that is the case. Again, Satan will be here in his physical form at that time. It says, but the earth helped her by opening its mouth and swallowing the river that gushed out from the mouth of the dragon. So it doesn't work. It doesn't work. Now, Satan is just getting defeated over and over again. First, he was thrown out of heaven. Wait a minute. First, he tried to take Jesus out when he, as soon as he was born, that failed. Then he's in a war in heaven with Michael. He loses that war. Now he's trying to destroy Israel with water, and that fails. Now what happens next? It says, and the dragon was angry at the woman. So Israel does not defend itself. The United States does not defend Israel from this attack of water. Now, is that a hurricane? Is it an avalanche of water? Is it we know that it's water and a flood. So maybe it means a literal flood. But what is going to save Israel from this specific attack is the earth is going to actually open up and swallow the river. And it says, and the dragon was angry at the woman and declared war against the rest of her children. Now, this is important. So Satan is going to be mad. Another defeat, another blow, another humiliation. And it says that he was angry at the woman, so Satan's angry at the woman, and declared war against the rest of her children. Now, who are the rest of the children of Israel? Well, we don't have to guess. It tells us right here, the second half of verse 17 defines the rest of her children, all who keep God's commandments and maintain their testimony for Jesus. So there is a parallel track that will happen during the Great Tribulation. There's a war against Israel proper, the nation of Israel, a physical location where some Jewish people live. Also, Arabs and Christians live there too, and others. But the nation of Israel, and specifically targeting the Jewish people, And then we're told right at the end, he's met with, there's something about this part of his defeat. Now, he's been being defeated over and over again, but this makes him so mad. And it's like the earth opens up to save her. And so he can't destroy the earth. So he's like, well, you know what? These Christians have been helping her. Now, what's the number one Christian nation on the earth? What nation has given more money than any other nation to promote the gospel? That's the United States of America. But Satan's attack will not be limited to Christians in the United States of America. Satan will be going against all who keep God's commandments and maintain their testimony for Jesus. It says, then the dragon took his stand on the shore beside the sea. So the announcement is made in Revelation chapter 12 that during the Great Tribulation, Israel will be kept safe. Israel will survive the Great Tribulation through the help of the United States of America and through the supernatural help of God, who will cause the earth to open up to save Israel from a literal flood. And Satan, in his anger, while present here on the earth, relegated to the earth, will decide to wage war against Christians. So here's the secret. What is the timing of the attack on Christians? When is it so hot that it will be unsafe for a Christian? Here it is, right here. Revelation 12, verse 17. When Israel experiences a horrible flood and is supernaturally saved through the earth literally opening up to receive all of that water which would have caused its destruction, that is the commencement. That is the beginning of the attack on Christians during the Great Tribulation. Now, that's an important secret. Sometimes people make it seem like, well, the Great Tribulation is, it's just all happening at once. It doesn't all start at once. It happens in increments. We're told in the 666 Antichrist prophecy that the Antichrist grows in power and dominion across 3.5 years. And so the war against the saints, against the church, against the bride, it doesn't happen right away. It begins at this point when Satan suffers the humiliation of the defeat of failing to drown Israel with a flood. There's something about that experience that's a turning point. No longer is it sufficient to take out Israel. Now the decision is made, or perhaps the actions begin. I don't know if the decision was made earlier, but the action begins to wage a new war, and that war is the wage against the bride, the war against the church. So Satan will wage a war against the church. When does it begin? So you would say, well, we're going to be here at that time. I believe that many of us are going to be here during this period. So you want to know, what's the hour, the day? The Bible doesn't tell us the specific hour or day, but for those of us who know the prophecies of the book of Revelation, we know that when Israel experiences an attack, which is a great flood, and the earth opens up to take all the water which would have destroyed the nation of Israel, that is the beginning. That marks the commencement of the war against Christians during the Great Tribulation. Friend, I hope that this has been an interesting and exciting discussion for you. I want to invite you to share your questions, to share your perspective, to present your prayer requests. You can do that by texting us 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. The PGN text number is 1-214-505-8719. That's 1-214-505-8719. During the live internet broadcast, you can also call us using the PGN phone number. That's 1-319-527-6027. That's 1-319-527-6027. I am looking forward to continued discussion and analysis of the 1,260 days prophecy. Let me share with you that this year we are unlocking the secrets through the power of God, unlocking all the secrets that God will share with us, secrets in the book of Revelation, looking at 100% of the statements of prophecy. There are 12 of them by my analysis. It's March. March is the third month of the year. The 1,260 days prophecy is the third statement of prophecy in the book of Revelation. So we're doing it like that. In March, we're looking at the third statement of prophecy in the book of Revelation. In April, the fourth. In May, the fifth one. And so on until we get to the 12th and final statement of prophecy in December. That's the new earth prophecy. So I invite you to be here with me. I invite you to be here with me and with us. We're live at 12 p.m. Texas time on Sunday and 9 a.m. Texas time on Thursday. Secrets Revealed. Understand the book of Revelation from start to finish. I am your book of Revelation research scientist, Dr. Nicole. Thank you for being with me today. And I urge you, according to Jeremiah 33:3, call out to God. He promises to show you great and mighty secrets that you do not know.